Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to see all of you here tonight, and you know, it's pretty amazing. I did finish writing the August issue of the newsletter today, and I started it on Monday, and of course I worked on it yesterday and today, and I hadn't left my house since Sunday, so it feels good to get out and go to church and be able to worship the Lord. But it was really something because, you know, usually if I spend a lot of hours working on the newsletter, I'll feel exhausted and tired, and then when I lay down to go to sleep, I'll just fall asleep right away. But that wasn't the case for me last night. I was actually really a little bothered by some of the things I had to write about. And it's amazing the things that are happening, and we will have those newsletters available as soon as we can. I think they're a very important, there's a lot of important things that we need to know about in those newsletters, so we will have them available as soon as possible. But that was really something, you know. I went to bed, and I went to bed pretty late anyway, but 2 a.m. rolled around, I was still awake, laying in bed. 3 a.m. rolled around, I was still awake, laying in bed, and finally, I did eventually fall asleep, but it's really amazing the things that are happening in this world. And hopefully that newsletter will stir some people up. But it is wonderful to be here tonight. I am so thankful for this privilege, and we are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy mercy, thanking thee for thy grace. We know, O God, that this is a privilege to come together to worship thee, to sing thy praises, to glorify thy name. We know, O God, that we cannot worship thee enough. Thou art worthy of so much more than we can give thee. But we are thankful, O God, that thou hast brought us here this night. And I pray, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service. Let thy Spirit be here. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. And let everything we do here tonight be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well,
we are going to start with number 115 in the chorus book here tonight. I will enter his gates. Number 115.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice.
God. Hallelujah. Oh, it is wonderful to praise the Lord. Let's go to number 94 and sing, "Wherever I Am, I'll Praise Him. Whenever I Can, I'll Praise Him." Number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, why don't we turn over to number 28 and sing, "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me," number 28. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, let's go to number 108 and sing, He Set Me Free. Number 108. Praise God.
He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free.
Looking forward to seeing Jesus. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 93 and sing, Oh, I Want to See Him. Number 93 in the hymnal.
Let me lift my voice. Years all past, oh, but
Turn now to number 173 and sing when we all get to heaven, number 173.
Thank you.
yes, that will be a wonderful day. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Well, we're going to take up the collection. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for this great abundance that thou hast given us over these years. We thank you, O God, for thy sustaining power which has kept us. We know, O God, that we could not be here except it be for thy mercy and thy grace. And we are so thankful that for all that thou hast done for us. And I pray, O God, that thou will continue to lead us, continue to direct our paths, continue to show us what we must do in the days ahead. Help us, O God, to be good stewards of this ministry that thou hast given us. And I pray, O God, that thou would lead us in all things. I ask, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night. And I pray that thou would also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to go back to the chorus book for one more song. And I believe the chorus I'm thinking of is number 131. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Praise the Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, started with the Bible study momentarily. I'm just going to change the battery quickly in this lavalier. The light is on yellow, so praise God. So just take a moment. Good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
All right. And the light is green.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Well, we will turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, praise the Lord. It is going to be a wonderful day when we see our Savior. All these times of trials and testing are over. I know we just get glimpses down here. We don't know just all the wonderful things that God has reserved for them that love Him. But I'll tell you what, yes, after this world and all the crazy things that go wrong, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a wonderful thing to be in the Lord's presence. Amen. And to know that it's over. You know, this walk of life, it's over. And I think we don't have to live that many years to realize that life is short. Mm-hmm. You know, but how important it is, because how we live this life is going to matter for all eternity. These few precious moments that we have, thank God we can give them to the Lord. Oh yes, we want to have something to give Him back, because He has done so much for us. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, like that man who had one talent and hid it in the earth, and oh, I'll tell you what, the Lord was so upset with that. He didn't use that which the Lord had given him. And the Lord is all. He has given all of us something that we can give back, something that we can invest into the kingdom of God. And you know what a privilege it is to do something for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something, yes, for His cause. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we could come here tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the insights that you've given us in your word, Lord. And, oh, God, that we have this wonderful Bible, this King James Bible that we can open up, Lord. Oh, God, that we can study its pages, Lord. And you talk to us through those pages, Lord. And, oh, God, you stir our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, to make us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. And, oh, God, I thank you for those that are gathered here together tonight, Lord. I thank you for those online. God, I thank you for those that are going to hear this message. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that you would use it, that you would anoint it. God, oh, Lord, that you'd help us all to get ready, Lord. That you'd fill us mightily with the Holy Ghost baptism, Lord. That fire from above, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, you'd help us, Lord. Oh, trim those wicks. And, oh, God, put that oil in. Let that oil, oh, come to the full, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. That oil of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you'd have us to be ready, Lord. You'd have us to be looking for you, Lord. These precarious times, Lord, when everything is so uncertain and we see all the signs around us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would stir our hearts in the name of Jesus, that you'd stir our hearts, Lord. Oh God, you'd cause that wandering one to come home tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd talk to that one that's not yet received you as Lord and Savior, God. I pray, oh God, that you'd fill with the Holy Ghost baptism tonight, Lord Jesus, that your power would fall down from on high. We thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Oh God, we ask you to use this for your name's sake and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been a very stirring week, I must say already. It's been quite the busy week. But I know we heard early this week about the incident there in River Falls at this market, this three-square market where they have taken the initiative to chip their employees, whosoever among them is willing to be chipped, and it's going to be in their hands. It's going to be in a place where they can connect with the doors and with all the machines and load up their, or log on to their computers that way. And all of this, it's all in the making. And it's in River Falls, Wisconsin, probably maybe 40, 50 miles from my own hometown of Eau Claire. I'll tell you what, it's getting close. This is the first incident that we know of here in the United States. And I'll tell you what, if that doesn't speak to our hearts and cause us to be stirred, then what will? I've heard it all my life that Jesus is coming. I've heard it. I remember, it used to be in days of old. Oh, yes, when we heard a message of his coming, we would all be stirred. Yes, we would gather at the altar. We would pray. We would cry out. Oh, yes, there was something that would burn inside, that desire to share it. All of those things, as we realized that there was going to be a day when our Lord was going to return to this earth. And here we are down the road all these years, and oh, the message is the same, but his coming is all the more near than it was when I was a girl. Tell you what, it's time for us to trim our lamps. Oh, yes, to make sure that we're filled with the Holy Ghost baptism, that there's oil in our lamps, and oh, yes, allowing nothing to ever let it go out. Oh, yes, because he's going to come suddenly. He's going to come. He's going to be here in the day when most are not looking for him. But I'll tell you what, oh, it's going to be worth everything to be right in God's sight. I'll tell you what, these trials, these tests, all things that go upside down that seem to be so contrary are going to seem like nothing. Just when we just sang that song, when we see Jesus, I'll tell you what, it's all going to, all those other disappointments, all those heartaches, all those tears are going to disappear when he glimpses at his dear face and realize we've made it home. Oh, yes, forever to be with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, we need him. We need him so desperately here tonight. And as we study tonight, I'm going to ask that we go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and got kind of a long title on it. Which things the angels desire to look into. Which things the angels desire to look into. Praise the Lord. The gifts of God. I'll tell you what, the wonderful gift that he has given us in this dispensation of grace in which we live. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. 1 Peter, the first chapter. You know, it's amazing. Peter was the one to initially break the gospel on the day of Pentecost to preach that first message. And here, in this epistle that he wrote, I'm sure many years later, he's addressing it to Gentiles. And so it is. You know, he also obviously had a burden for the people that were spread abroad, and the strangers, as they're called, the Gentile people that Paul ministered to. But here we have Peter addressing them in this first chapter of 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he counted them very dear as he's explaining these things in this letter. Praise the Lord. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Praise the Lord. That's how he introduces this letter. And oh yes, those that were elect according to the foreknowledge of God, those that the Lord called and knew he would call, and then he sanctified them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it was, their salvation is unto obedience. We obey the commands. We obey the command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It is all because of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, as he atoned for our sins so that we could come to him and be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And notice that word begotten. We've been born again of the water and of the Spirit if we're the children of God. Praise the Lord. And it's his abundant mercy, mercy that was so full and complete and adequate and beyond adequate to meet everything that was in our past. Oh, yes, it wasn't deserved at all, but oh, by his great love and mercy to us, he bestowed it upon us. And he hath begotten us as his children unto that lively hope that we sang about tonight. Oh, yes, when we see Jesus, when we rule and reign with him, yes, in the heavens, praise the Lord, that lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, yes, and because he was raised from the dead, it's also our hope that God will raise our bodies also, should we be dead when that moment comes. Amen. And what we have to look forward to. Oh, I'll tell you what a description. In verse 4, it says, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, a place, it's got your name on it. Praise the Lord. It's an inheritance that he's got for his people, and it's something that's not going to corrupt. Nothing is going to corrupt it ever. There's going to be no rust. Oh, there's going to be no other insects or anything else that would try to hinder what God has given us. Nothing will corrupt and is undefiled, oh, without any blemishes, without any spots, just in perfect condition. I know almost everything here in this world, it just seems like we could buy it, oh, just spanking new and beautiful, but wait a few months down the road and you can see signs and it, oh, wow, we've used it. And that's how it is with things on this earth, but oh, we're looking for that inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. And, you know, it's not like, you know, something that somebody gives you and then it's gone down the road. It fadeth not away. It's there for all eternity. And praise the Lord, like I said, it's got your name on it. It's reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to. Praise the Lord. And he knows how to keep us. As it tells us in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, that wonderful faith that he puts in our hearts. Oh, yes, that faith by which we overcome this world, you know. That beautiful verse in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. In 1 John, the 1st chapter. 1 John, the 5th chapter, did I say that right or not? Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Oh, because we're kept by the power of God through faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh, that faith that he puts within us, that faith that causes us to reach out with the living God in the first place, and that was deep down inside where we could acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, that faith that keeps us day by day and gives us that strength and that hope and, you know, the thing that we reach out to, oh, no matter how hard the trial or the test may be, the affliction, all of that, we can reach out in faith and know that there is a God, oh yes, that is there to help us, to give us that overcoming strength, that victory that overcometh the world, that faith that he puts deep down inside, oh yes, to recharge us moment by moment, continually, so that we can walk by faith and not by sight, so we can believe the words that are written. Oh, yes, and we can have that hope. Oh, yes, that we're forever going to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord. So that is what he's given us, that faith. And as it tells us back in 1 Peter, the first chapter, again, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. He keeps us through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, praise the Lord. When we get there, and we're going to see, yes, who all the Lord has brought forth for that time, that season, for all eternity. And then verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Oh, yes, there's something deep within, because our hope is in the Lord and in his promises. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There are those seasons. Oh, yes, those manifold, various temptations or testings or trials. And, you know, that try our faith at times, but yet we can rejoice because our hope is in the Lord. Even if we are in heaviness, that means sorrow or affliction, yet there is something deep inside that can rejoice because the Lord is with us. Oh, yes, and we've been bought by him as his sons and daughters. Oh, yes, and we've received the Holy Ghost. He has sealed us with that wonderful promise of salvation there, that gift of salvation. Oh, yes, that he has bestowed upon us so beautifully so we can rejoice. Oh, yes, even if our spirit is made heavy, even if we are in heaviness and in sorrow, yet there is a rejoicing that's deep within because we know our Savior lives. And one day we're going to live with him. He goes on to say that the trial of your faith. Oh, it's not easy to go through trials, is it? Oh, no, but the Lord knows how to take us through things that don't make sense, things that don't add up, things that are unjust. Oh, it can all happen. But that trial of your faith, it says here, it's being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. There's something about those trials, those hard things that we go through, that make us stronger. They give us greater strength, that help us to endure, and oh, help us to stand. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And truly, we've just got to realize that that's what's going to matter. That moment when he splits the skies and, oh, yes, we see him face to face, we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing. That's what's going to matter at that moment. That, yes, we have won the race down here on this earth, that we have walked with the Lord, that we have overcome, yes, that we have gone forward, that our hope and our trust is in the Lord. Oh, yes, by his mercy and grace, being found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then it explains in verse 8, whom having not seen yet, we love. In whom, though now ye see him not yet, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, yes, he hath made us glad. There is something deep down inside because, yes, we know that he has worked within us and we can sense his promises. We can sense his presence. We can know that he's with us and he gives us an underlying joy. And, you know, when you're worshiping him, when you're praising him, oh, there's something about the joy. You can never explain it adequately at all. It's a joy that's unspeakable and it's full of glory. And yes, when we get singing his praises and meditating upon the Lord and thinking upon the good things of God, oh, that joy begins to well up inside our very being. Oh, yes, because he's given us something to live for. He's given us a hope that's deeper than anything of this world. And oh, he's given us a joy in spite of trials, in spite of tests, in spite of heartaches, in spite of afflictions, in spite of sicknesses and illnesses and pain, suffering and all of that. There's something that's deeper than that. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, as we continue with the Lord, oh, looking for that day of his appearing, and as it tells us in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. Oh yes, he gave us that initial faith so we could believe him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But that faith that began in our heart when we reached out to the Lord, yes, there's an end to that faith, and it's the salvation of our souls. That's what it's going to yield. That faith that he's given us is going to yield the salvation of our souls. Praise the Lord, and what a gift it is. Praise the Lord. I've had occasion the last few days to be speaking with a very dear sister in the Lord. Her name is Judy, and she just found out that she has ovarian cancer. I've been on the phone with her quite a bit over the last several days, and with her husband also. And you know, I know it's not easy news for anybody, but I'll tell you what, she's been worshiping the Lord there in the hospital. I believe they sent her home today, but she's been worshiping the Lord. She hasn't cared who can hear her. She's been witnessing. She's already talked to some people that, you know, seemed, you know, highly influenced by her walk with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing. In the midst of a great trial, oh, she is sensing the presence of the Lord. And oh, she is doing the thing that she wants to do with all her heart, and that is share the glorious gospel with whomsoever. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, the Lord has given us something deep, and I'll tell you what, it's a strength that he gives us that carries us through those hard moments. It carries us through news that is so hard to bear, but the Lord gives us a strength. That faith that's in our heart, that we know in whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. And that faith that we know that he's with us, his promises are yea and amen, and praise the Lord. Oh, he could take that mass that's in her body completely away. Yes, we've been praying, we've been trusting the Lord and looking forward to see what God is going to do, because we serve a living Savior. We serve the one who walked the shores of Galilee, healed the sick, yes, who healed the blinded eyes, who cast out devils, preached the gospel to whomsoever would listen. And praise the Lord, he's still alive today. He's still with his people. And he can still do the same things that he did back then. And praise the Lord, we're going to pray for Judy. We're going to believe God for Judy. And oh yes, there's others that are on the list, as we know. But praise the Lord, there's nothing too hard for our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, it tells us in verse 9. And then verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And it tells us in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, you can imagine, there's so many prophetic utterances in the Old Testament. And they wrote, oh yes, of the coming of the Messiah, the one who would come. They testified of his sufferings and of the glory that should follow. And yes, they knew that there was going to be something. Oh yes, it was going to be different than anything else. Yes, the Spirit of God would come upon them. And they would minister, as it tells us in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes, the Spirit of the living God would come upon them, and they would utter the words that he would give them. They would bring them forth. They would prophesy. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there was something. They knew that there was going to be something different than that. There was going to be something that would come upon the children of God that would be even deeper than those moves of the Spirit of God that would come upon them and move them so that they could speak forth. There was going to be something deeper. And there was that realization that it wasn't going to be in their time, but there was going to be a people that would come forth, and they would be ministered into this way, and there was going to be something wonderful that the Lord would bestow upon those people that would follow. And here's identified, of course, this is written under the new covenant, and Peter knew, yes, what it was. Oh, the gospel that was preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Oh, and it says which things the angels desire to look into. I'll tell you what, the gift of the Holy Ghost is so glorious and so wonderful that even the angels, they haven't been bestowed with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they look into it, they desire it. You know, they can see the wonder of it all, that the Lord would come into a human being. Indwelt, oh, because the Holy Ghost is the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, and that there on the cross he gave up the ghost, that Spirit that was with him, the Spirit of the living God, he gave it up, but he was going to send it back. He said, oh, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come unto you, he promised. Oh, there in John, the 14th chapter, he said those words. Oh, yes, I have to leave. My ministry is short. I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come unto you. He said in the 14th chapter of John, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Yes, the Holy Ghost that comes to dwell into our lives, it's there to reside, to stay, to inhabit our very being, and not for just the moment, but forever, it tells us here. That's the comforter that Jesus was talking about. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Oh, they don't know him out there unless he's called them and they've received that calling and they've answered it. But he said, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And he was walking with them right at that moment. And these were some of his final words before he went to that cross. But he says, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our very being. And as verse 18 says again, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise the Lord. And oh, wonderful verses where it talks about how that Spirit would come and make its abode in our very being. Oh, live within us as human beings. Praise the Lord. And as verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Oh, yes, they did always get the things that Jesus was saying while he walked with them on earth. But he was going to come back as the Holy Ghost. And then they would understand the things that he had taught them. They would get it then, because the Holy Ghost would be directing them. That Spirit of the living God would indwell them, and it would teach them all the things that they needed to know, and it would bring things to their remembrance, whatsoever Jesus had said unto them. And besides that peace that the Holy Ghost gives, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know, yes, yeah, sometimes those troubles arise. And we have to fight those spirits off that try to come and, you know, hinder us in those ways. But praise the Lord, Jesus told us here that he was going to give us a peace. Oh, his peace, not a peace that the world gives at all. Something much deeper than that. Oh, a peace that knows no limits. A peace that comes to us even in the middle of heartaches and troubles and sorrow, afflictions and all of that. That peace that the world cannot give. Oh, and he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. They were troubled. Yes, he was talking about them, about himself going away. And of course, we all resist that. We don't like to see our loved ones die. But praise the Lord, Jesus was going to offer them something great. He was going to come back and dwell within their very being as a comforter, as the Holy Ghost, whom the Father would send in his name. Praise the Lord. So that is what those prophets of old were searching for. Oh, they knew that there was something, oh, stirring within them, something, oh, yes, that would come to the scene, and something that they prophesied of. And they foretold it. Oh, there's many places in the Old Testament. We go now to Isaiah 44. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 44. And starting there with the very first verse. Verse 1, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. There it is again. Reason not to fear. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. And that term, Jeshurun, is not in the Bible very often. It's also in Deuteronomy. It's kind of an honorable surname, from what I understand, talking about an upright nation. But I'm afraid old Israel did not always live up to that. In fact, if we were to read in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and verse 15, it tells us when Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, and thou art grown thick, it tells us there in that verse. Thou art covered with fatness. In other words, they were highly blessed. They were put in their place in Canaan land. But it says, then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Oh, how pathetic. God had redeemed them, had done so many wonderful works for them. But when those blessings flowed and you know, they were content and other enemies had been conquered, at least some of the enemies had been conquered, says they waxed fat and kicked. Oh, thou art grown thick, it says. Thou art covered with fatness. And fatness is a blessing in this case. But it seems like as human beings, we can't stand too many blessings. It seems like we need a few trials and tests, you know, to get us to that place where we cry out to God and we realize our need for God more than anything else. It seems like it takes that, because old Israel, when they were highly blessed, it tells us they forsook God. They esteemed him lightly. Oh, him that was the rock of their salvation. I'll tell you what, that's something to consider. That is somewhat of human nature, I'm afraid. Oh, yes, if things go too smoothly, there's that tendency to forget our need for the living God. So we thank God, as you know, we read there in 1 Peter, you know, those difficulties, those trials of our faith, how we can yet rejoice and how we can esteem them, because we know that those fiery trials that come upon us, there's going to be something that they bring about, something that comes to be praise and honor and glory. Oh, so that someday we can stand before our Savior at the appearing of Jesus Christ with honor, with praise, with glory. Oh, yes, knowing that we've made it through the temptations of this world, those moments when, oh, our patience was tried, when our hearts were tried, those fiery darts were aimed at us. But praise the Lord, that trial of our faith is actually more precious than gold. It told us there in 1 Peter, more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that is what matters. And so in spite of it, it tells us, oh, yes, because he has moved in our hearts. Oh, yes, he has given us faith. We can rejoice with that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, we've got that inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens for each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. But here it is, and back to Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Here's a promise. Here's a prophetic utterance in verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Oh, yes, there was something that was going to come forth, and the prophets could understand what this was. Oh, how he would pour water upon him that is thirsty. And, oh, to make that barren ground, oh, yes, you know what the earth looks like when it's cracked and it's dry, all of that, but praise the Lord, how welcome the rains are upon a dry and a barren ground. That's how our lives were before we knew the Lord, dry and barren, without hope. Oh, yes, but the Lord began to work in our lives. He began to call to us, and we began to see and understand. Little by little, things began to open up unto us. Praise the Lord in that wonderful day when he filled us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's the pouring of water upon him that is thirsty. Oh, yes, that promise that he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled, as it tells us in Matthew 5. But that promise, yes, that he was going to flood that dry ground and pour upon his seed, his spirit, and his blessing upon his offspring. Oh, that is the Holy Ghost that he's talking about. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. If you can turn past Isaiah to the next major prophet there, Jeremiah, going to the 31st verse in Jeremiah. And looking at the 31st verse in the 31st chapter. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Yes, they broke that first covenant that he had made with them. Yes, as he took them out of Egypt. Yes, he expected them to keep his covenant, to keep his promises, to keep his commandments. He expected them to do it. But as Brother Samuel brought out, I believe last Sunday, he'd no sooner written the law than it was already broken. Yes, as Moses was ready to come down from that mount of Sinai with that law in his hands, already the children of Israel had sinned hugely and were worshiping that naked calf, or that golden calf rather, in their nakedness and in their wretchedness. It already failed. Oh, yes. So they broke that first covenant time and time again. Even though the Lord would have mercy on them, he would break it again and again. But he was going to bring forth a new covenant. And here he mentions it here in verse 33 of this 31st chapter of Jeremiah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. In other words, he was going to be a personal Savior to each and every one of us that he would call. We wouldn't have to go rely on the prophets or on the priests to tell us what to do, but he would put his word within our very being so that we could all know the Lord, that he could be our Lord and Savior as individuals, from the least to the greatest. Praise the Lord, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And what a precious, wonderful thing it is, yes, when we go down in those waters of baptism for the remission of sins, and knowing that those sins are forever covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, never more to be remembered. Praise the Lord, so that one day we can stand before him with our slate cleaned. Oh, yes, without sin, without guile. Praise the Lord. That's our God. His promise, but he was going to bring forth a new covenant. Oh, yes, with the house of Israel, with his people, those that he would call, and he would write it in their inward parts, in their hearts, and he would be their God, and they shall be his people. And that goes for all of us. We're told to come out from among them and be his separate. And he told us that he would be a father unto us, and we would be his sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Yes, we come out from among them. We don't touch those unclean things, those filthy things. No, we turn away from sin and all that follows with it, and give our hearts truly to the Lord, seeking his face and all walking in his mercy, but walking in holiness and separation from our old man, from our old being, and separating us from the things that would take us away from the Lord. Oh, coming out from among them and being separate, touching not those unclean things, and knowing that he would receive us and he would be a father unto us, and we would be his sons and daughters. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's also go to Ezekiel. If you can turn to the next major prophet after Jeremiah, Ezekiel 36. Praise the Lord. All these utterances, and there's many more that I'm not going to be able to mention here tonight. But these are the things that the prophets wrote, and they knew that there was something forthcoming that would be glorious, that would be wonderful, that would atone for sin, that, would bring forth that new covenant. They knew bits and pieces, but they hadn't that ability to partake of it. Praise the Lord. Looking here at Ezekiel 36. It tells a story how, because of their rebellion, their sinfulness, their waywardness, their idolatry, the blood that they shed, all of that, that the house of Israel, the natural, physical house of Israel, was scattered among the heathens according to their ways, according to their doings. God judged them in verse 19. In verse 20 says, and when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, did they live uprightly? It says, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. In other words, they were a disgrace. And God saw it. He heard it. He knew their waywardness. And it tells us in verse 21, but I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. There was something that needed to be revered and held in deep respect, the holy name of God. But they profaned it. They made it unholy. They defiled it for their walk in this world. And by the way, they spoke and the things they did, it profaned the holy name of God among the heathen. So they were no example. They weren't standing up for the things that God had required of them to be a separate, holy, peculiar people unto the Lord. Instead, they were living in sin and rebellion, and they were a disgrace to God Almighty. So it says, I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, which you've despised, which you've defiled. I'm going to do it for my name's sake, whether you went. And it says in verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. I'm going to make it holy in spite of you, in spite of your profanity among the heathen. I'm going to sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. They're going to know in spite of lives that don't live true to the word of God. They're still going to know that there is a God in heaven, and he's holy. His name is holy. They're going to know it. The heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. When I'm going to be revered, when I'm going to be made holy. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And he did do that after 70 years. Many of them did get to go back to the land of Judah. And then it promises, it goes beyond that. In this prophecy it says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. There was a cleansing required under the old covenant. The priests were told that they washed in the laver, that they die not. They had to be clean. They had to have their hands clean, their feet clean, or they would have died when they went into that tabernacle. And therefore, there is something that the Lord expects of his people. Yes, we need to be made clean from all our filthiness, from all our idolatry, all those things in our past. And thank the Lord we can come to him and repent and turn from that filthiness, from those filthy ways. Oh, yes, and we can go down in those waters of baptism. Oh, yes, that sprinkling. Oh, that clean water upon us. Oh, yes, to remit those sins. Ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Yes, he's speaking of that new covenant that he would bring forth. Verse 26 also, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, a heart that can be molded, that can be shaped by Almighty God. You know, not that hard, rebellious heart that wants to do everything its own way. But instead, God gives us a heart that can be reformatted, that can be shaped, that can be made to the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. A heart, a flesh, he calls it here. A heart, oh yes, that he can work with and make it his own. And it tells us in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh yes, when we're living right for the Lord, when our, oh yes, oh, when we're walking in righteousness and holiness, when we're walking before the Lord with sanctified hearts, the world can see that there's something different. We're not holding on to the world. We've let go of the world. And we're not conforming to the world, but rather we're allowing the Spirit of God to transform us. Yes, so that we can be made unto like it. Likened unto Jesus Christ himself. Oh yes, he takes us as we are, as we come to him initially. And oh, we may have very, very little understanding at the first, but he begins to make a way for us, and he begins to work in us. Oh, all at once there's realizations. Hey, oh, I was doing that and it's wrong. Oh, I was dressing like this. Oh, I could never do that anymore. Oh, he begins to talk to us so that we can be made in his image and represent him, that we could be his ambassadors representing the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about. We're not our own, but we've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not our own. Praise the Lord. So we glorify him in our works, in the life that we live, when we're living in holiness unto the Lord. Oh, when he puts his spirit in us, praise the Lord, the spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing. It says in verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine among you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. He's talking about blessings for his people. And this is how we look at our own life. Says in verse 31, then shall you remember your own evil ways, your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Oh, praise the Lord, yeah. Oh, we leave those things behind, and we don't want to look back. Oh, we've left them at the cross, those loathsome things, those evil ways, those doings that were not good. Oh, we give it over to the Lord so that he can make us into his own image. And oh yes, we hate sin. We don't want to walk in it. Talks about loathing, despising, hating those old ways. Oh, those old iniquities, those things that we did, those abominations that we committed in the sight of God, those things that he hated. Praise the Lord, when he gives us eyes that can see and ears that can hear, a mind that can receive the things of God, he begins to change us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise the Lord. That's what he does for us when we come to him and let him change our lives. Oh, leave those dreadful old icky things behind. Oh, yes, those things that we did in our sinful ways. Oh, when we didn't have understanding, we walked in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Oh, we looked, oh, no more to that. But leave it behind and loathe those things. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful things that God has promised for his people. But oh, throughout this Old Testament, oh, yes, the prophets were proclaiming, oh, the new way that would come forth. Oh, yes, the living water that would come forth. Oh, yes, those times of refreshing that would come forth from the presence of the Lord. Oh, they had a glimpse of what God was going to do, but they realized it was for a latter time. Oh, yes, when God would pour out his Spirit. Oh, as it says again in Isaiah 44, that third verse, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No wonder Jesus, if we go back to the book of John, this time the seventh chapter, praise the Lord. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, just like the prophet had talked about that thirsting and pouring water upon it. But Jesus cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, yes, Jesus had spoke to that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, in the fourth chapter of John, about those living waters. Oh, the living water, yes, that if anyone drinks of it, oh, it's going to be like a well springing up into everlasting life. Oh, water that we can drink that, you know, we won't thirst again because, oh, there's ever more, more and more of the Spirit of God that we can partake of. And it's never going to, that well is never going to run dry. But praise the Lord, here Jesus was speaking of it again. Verse 38 again in John 7, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. And then it explains in verse 39, for this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to go into the heavens before he could send back the Comforter, before he could send back his Spirit. It was not yet given yet. Even though they walked with him, they communed with him, they were with him, those 12 and those others that followed him. But oh, he's promising something. There's going to be something. Oh, the prophets talked about it. It's going to come into being. Oh, yes, it's going to come into reality. That wonderful blessing that's poured out, oh, to quench that thirsting of the soul. Praise the Lord. Oh, that promise. Oh, that he made. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And a promise that would come forth, those living rivers of water. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know, oh, yes, Jesus told them before he ascended, there, the 24th chapter of Luke, that they should tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And praise the Lord, that is what they did. After he ascended, they went to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And they began to tarry. They were tarrying for that which the Lord had promised, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they didn't know how he would pour it upon them. Oh no, they just had the glimpses that he had given them. That was their meager understanding at the moment, that which the prophets had proclaimed. Praise the Lord. There they were on the day of Pentecost, and they had been waiting, they had been tarrying. They had obeyed what Jesus told them to do, to go to Jerusalem and tarry, wait, till they be endued, empowered with that power from on high. And there it was on the day of Pentecost, so it was going to happen. Oh yes, he had to wait till he was glorified, he was back in heaven, but he was going to send that Spirit upon his children. There they were on the day of Pentecost. Oh, one accord, all there together in one place, and suddenly, oh yes, there was that sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. The second chapter of Acts revealed all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Praise the Lord, then the utterance of the Holy Ghost came upon them. It said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost came and it dwelt upon them. Oh yes, they were changed after that. They were changed and Holy Ghost fell upon them. And oh yes, it was noised abroad. There was approximately 120 in that upper room, tarrying, waiting for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And oh yes, I believe it got a little noisy there as the Holy Ghost descended upon them. They all began to speak with other tongues, and perhaps, you know, it became noised abroad, and maybe by now they're out in the street. No, praise the Lord, there's a crowd that gathered around them. Oh, and they marveled. That crowd could hear every man speaking, as it were, in their own language. And how could they, you know? I mean, these are Galileans. How could they speak in our languages? And you know, the language from where we were born, it mentions Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh yes, the Holy Ghost had fallen upon them. Oh, they were all amazed, and some were in doubt. Some said, what does this mean? Some thought they were, you know, were drunken with new wine or something. But Peter stood up. Oh yes, he was empowered now with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He had been a simple fisherman. He had been unlearned. But there he was on the day of Pentecost, now filled with the Comforter, now filled with those rivers of living water, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and he spoke up. Oh, he wasn't cowering now. He wasn't hiding now. He wasn't denying Jesus now. No, he stood up in that crowd. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh yes, Joel had proclaimed this in the second chapter of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And of my servants and of my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. This was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. No, it had come to pass. Oh, Joel didn't understand what he was writing. Oh, yes, when he proclaimed those words, as he was, the Holy Ghost came upon him and he could utter it forth. He didn't understand what he was talking about. But praise the Lord. Oh, those decades went by. Those years went by. And it came to pass, as Jeremiah had proclaimed in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, that new covenant would come forth. Oh yes, that new covenant. Oh yes, he would write his law in our inward parts. So yes, you write it on the table of our hearts. He would be to us a father, and we would be to him sons and daughters. All those things have been proclaimed, those things that they couldn't understand. But it happened. Praise the Lord. So as it told us in 1 Peter, as we began this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look upon. Oh, it's such a wonderful ability. What a wonderful gift that he would bestow his Spirit upon his people, so that we could walk with him, we could talk with him, we could hear that voice speak to our soul, our spirit. This is the way, walking in it when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. We could hear that. We could have that unction. We could prepare our hearts. We could walk in the light even as he is a light. Oh, yes. And we begin looking for the sound of that trumpet that's going to sound one of these days, and he's going to appear. Oh, he's going to burst forth from the skies. Oh, yes, and every eye is going to see him. Oh, yes. Oh, those that crucified him, they're going to see him. Oh, and all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. They're going to mourn. They're going to wail. They're going to see him as he is, and they're going to know. Oh, how sad it is if they've rejected the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord, the one that poured out of his Spirit upon them that are thirsty. Oh, those that will come to him and surrender their hearts to the living God. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Praise the Lord. Let's go to one other place here. Zechariah, one of the last prophets there in the Old Testament, the next to the last book in the Old Testament, going to Zechariah, verse 1 of chapter 10. Chapter 10, Zechariah, verse 1. Praise the Lord. And here it is, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. I think it's so interesting. So I do have to go to James also. Here, James, the fifth chapter, right after Hebrews, James, the fifth chapter, verse 7, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe the early rain fell at Pentecost. But here we are at the time of the latter rain. It tells us in verse 8 here in James 5, verse 8, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so it is right now. He's coming an hour when many look not for him. He's coming as a thief in the night. Oh, yes. What a moment it's going to be. Yes. As he breaks through the sky, every eye is going to see him. They also which pierced him. Oh, yes, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Oh, it's time for us to be patient, because there is one. He's the husbandman, Lord Jesus. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Oh, yes, he's waiting until the last one comes in. Oh, yes, that last one who's going to receive this wonderful salvation. He's waiting. He's holding out. And it says he have long patience, Lord, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Oh, praise the Lord. We have to be patient. We're to establish our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Draw nigh. But even so as it is, and we see the signs. Oh, yes, we talked about what happened. Oh, yes, probably this week. They were talking about putting that chip there in the hands of I believe, 53 had signed up to receive it there. River Falls, a little town in Wisconsin. Oh boy, not too far from my hometown, Eau Claire. First place supposedly in this United States. Here we are. Oh, it's telling us that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. But praise the Lord. Just going again to Zechariah, that 10th chapter and verse 1. Oh, there's something that we need. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need those revival fires to fall upon our thirsty souls to quench that thirst within us. And here it tells us, this first verse in Zechariah 10, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds. Oh, bright clouds. It means a glare like a flash of lightning. He's going to make it so that, oh yes, His Spirit can come down and dwell in His people. Oh, we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, we need that revival Spirit to dwell within us, to give us that power from on high. For ye shall receive power after this, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, that precious Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. Oh, this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord, and here we are, down to the end of time, so it seems. I just think it's interesting. This first verse says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. In the latter rain, ask ye of the Lord this last time that He would pour out of His Spirit. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. Showers of rain. Oh, yes, it talks about showers of blessings. Oh, yes, in the book of Ezekiel. But we need those showers to fall upon our dry and thirsty souls. Oh, yes, so that thirst can be quenched, that living water can flow, that water that Jesus talked about. Oh, that water that comes from the innermost being of our belly as the Spirit of God comes to dwell in our lives. As He poured it out on the day of Pentecost, oh, He's no respecter of persons. Oh, it's for us today. Oh, yes, as Peter proclaimed it, on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for us today, and we can ask for rain in the days of the latter rain. Praise the Lord, and He will pour out of His Spirit. He will pour that rain upon those thirsty hearts. Oh, yes, they long for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to come and abide with them forever. Praise the Lord, that wonderful promise that He has given us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, it's for us tonight. Oh, yes, if you cry out. Oh, yes, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, that day He will be found. That promise is for you and for your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, if He's called you, that promise is for you. Praise the Lord. Ask ye for the rain in the time of the latter rain. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Pour out of your spirit, Lord Jesus. Pour out of your spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise you, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we are going to open our chorus books once again and go to number 134 and sing It's Beginning to Rain, number 134. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of my Father saying, whosoever may drink of water, for I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your head to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning.
Thank you.
praying tonight. Praise God. You're dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.